weight loss surgery, which is the one for me. Hello and welcome to the Cancer and Bariatric Surgeon Podcast. This is Dr. Prabhu Nesagika, the bariatric and metabolic surgeon with you from Namma, Bengaluru. You would have listened to my previous podcast on obesity and weight loss. And today, I'm going to give you a brief talk about the weight loss surgery, which has been in existence for the last 3 decades. So in case where dietary changes and exercise are not effective, or patients with large BMI, bariatric surgery is now proven to be a sure shot option for weight loss. There is now exhaustive evidence to show that surgery with dedicated multidisciplinary follow-up results in loss of excessive weight and resolution of many comorbidities. There are several kinds of bariatric surgeries, but I'm discussing the most common type here, which is conducted worldwide and which we do. They are all minimal invasive surgeries, which require a very short hospital stay. Recovery is faster, and the patient can soon live to more active life. So the first surgery on the minimal invasive surgery I'm going to talk about is gastric banding. Now, a disclaimer, now this is not recommended anymore in most of the patients. For a very long time, gastric banding was very commonly carried out in the Western world and the Asian world, and it led to a decent weight loss in the initial few years. But now we have known with experience that the gastric banding actually has caused more problems. And a couple of years ago, it was one of the commonest operations, also taking the gastric band out. So unless indicated, personally, we would not be recommending this as an option going forward. The next most common surgery which we do now is laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy. Now this procedure involves taking nearly 2/3 of your stomach out and leaving behind a residual stomach, which is the shape of a sleeve or the shape of a banana, if you may prefer. The stomach is removed by stapling the stomach over a narrow calibration tube, and the divided stomach is removed from your body. Laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy is now the commonest procedure done worldwide, with comparable results to its big brother, the gastric bypass surgery. Now, this procedure is not recommended for patients who have reflux or gastroesophageal reflux disease, as the residual stomach can exaggerate the reflux. In a recent study, it was shown up to 15% of the patients can experience reflux symptoms after undergoing sleeve gastrectomy. But with a tailored multidisciplinary approach, the patient can expect to lose up to 60 to 80% of his excessive weight. Now, you may question, what is the meaning of an excessive weight? So for example, if a patient has a weight of 140 kg, his ideal weight should have been 80 kgs. So he carries an excess of 60 kg weight over his body. So with the right surgical approach and a multidisciplinary team approach, we aim to shed, if not the all 60 kgs, at least up to 40 to 50 kgs of weight of the body. And this can be achieved over the first 1 to 2 years. And depending on the patient's will, they come down to a new thermostat setting of weight over the next 2-3 years. So for example, if this patient is 140 kgs, he underwent the procedure and he sticks to the multidisciplinary approach, at the end of 3 years, he may actually end up weighing roughly around 80 to 90 kgs, which will be his new baseline weight. The next surgery I'm going to briefly talk about is the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. So the bypass, now there are two common varieties, the Roux-en-Y and the one anastomosis gastric bypass. For more than 2 decades, the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass was a gold standard procedure for weight loss and is particularly recommended for diabetic patients. In this surgery, the stomach is divided to form a pouch size almost similar to a thumb. The small intestines are then divided and one limb is brought up to anastomose to the new stomach pouch. The biliary limb or the residual other limb is then anastomosed distally, usually 150 to 200 centimeters away to the primary limb. So in principle, your stomach is now the size of a thumb, so you reduce your food intake. And the food which is consumed mixes with the digestive juices nearly 200 centimeters away, basically bypassing the duodenum. And this leads to weight loss by hormonal and restrictive food mechanisms. The other kind of bypass which is gaining popularity is a mini gastric bypass or one anastomosis gastric bypass. In this technique, the stomach is divided in the sense of one fourth of the stomach is divided from the rest of the organ with the staples, and the residual stomach is left behind. So this smaller part of the stomach is now attached to the small intestine at a spot above the existing division of the staple line. So this results in roughly three-fourths of the stomach being divided and roughly one-third to two-thirds of the small intestine being excluded and then joined to the new stomach. So these sections are bypassed. So when you eat food, the quantity is reduced. And then again, as I said, it goes and goes into the small intestine at a place almost bypassing the 150 of the and the 150 to 200 centimeters of the proximal intestine. The MGB is a successor to an older gastric bypass surgery, which was the Roux-en-Y procedure, which I discussed before. Now, there are complications and side effects of these procedures, and the surgeon will discuss this in detail before recommending the appropriate procedures. Now, there are certain other smaller various procedures carried out worldwide, which I'm not discussing in this particular podcast, as they constitute to less than 10% of the worldwide operations. Now, what happens after the operation? The patient usually stays in the hospital for 2 to 3 days after the procedure. They're encouraged to walk from the first day itself to minimize the risks of developing clots in their legs and also to improve their cardiopulmonary function. The patient will be then given a dedicated post-dietic and physiotherapy plan to adhere to. So, for example, your diet after surgery, you can expect a liquid diet for the first 2 weeks, then a pureed diet for the next 2 weeks after that, a semi-solid diet for the next 2 weeks. So roughly for the first 6 weeks after surgery, you'll be from a liquid to a semi-solid diet, and from week 7 onwards, we introduce a solid diet. Now the diet will be tailored to the patient's palate and will include a high-protein supplemental shake to complement the diet. Now, as I said before in my first podcast about bariatric surgery and weight loss, we have to complement any dietic therapy with a physiotherapy or yoga therapy sessions. So in here, you would get tailored exercises will be recommended to complement your diet and also to accelerate the weight loss with time. Now, you may need to take some supplements, which is in the form of lifelong multivitamin tablets to negate any nutritional deficiencies that tend to occur in the first 2 years after the operation. So, in essence, these are the three most common types of surgeries done worldwide. And also there are endoscopic therapies available, which I have discussed in my next podcast on endoscopic surgery. So that's the end of today's episodes. Catch you soon with another episode of another interesting topic. Till then, stay tuned to my channel, and it's me, your host, Dr. Prabhu, signing off.